As JB advanced, he worked the M4000's butter-smooth slide. He hammered the other two doughmen, sending one wheeling into the plant bed head first and blowing the other off his feet with a center chest hit. Kneeling at the corner of the bed, Mildred followed up on three more retreating figures, an extremely heavy-set woman in a shapeless gunny sack and two lanky boys in their late teens. The heavy woman was packing a .32 Beretta blaster. One of the teenagers carried a government Colt remake, the other a .38 Smith & Wesson. As the trio backed up, they fired aimlessly. Mildred, though, took very careful aim. She fired three quick rounds from her ZKR 551. The first hit the woman high in the flabby forearm. The little .32 tumbled. The second round passed through the government Colt boy's bicep.
Ah! Fucking whore!
The third clipped the shoulder of the other teenager. Two more gun hand hits. Both boys managed to hold onto their weapons, but neither could raise them to return fire. Realizing they were helpless, all three turned and ran.
What was that about whores?
Fuck you!
The other companions drew beads on the retreating backs, easy shots to make, but no one fired. Ryan glanced over his shoulder at the tent and was relieved that Dean and Lilu were nowhere in sight.
At least they're safe, I hope.
We gave them a shot, Ryan. That's all we could hope for.
Yeah.
As he turned back to the action, blaster fire erupted from beside the looter wags. Dirt puffed up all around the fleeing woman and two teens as they tried to cross the street and rejoin their people. They went down in a tangled heap in the middle of the road, the heavy woman crashing on top of the teenagers. Mildred returned fire. Christy joined in as well. As JB scrambled back to retrieve Doc, Ryan unslung the Steyr-Long blaster and flipped up the lens protectors on its telescope. With the forestock braced against the frame of a plant bed, he swung the sight post over the nearest looter wag. A carny peeked around the front bumper, KG-99 in hand. Ryan squeezed off a shot. The man jerked upright as if flicked by a giant invisible finger. Arms flying wide, he did a mid-air half-twist and hit the ground hard. He wasn't dead. Back arching, he kicked his legs and thrashed his arms. Nobody rushed out to help him. Ryan was searching the line of wags for a second target when he saw bullets kicking up dust. The villagers' flanking attack had begun. The carny chillers were about to get themselves sandwiched. Ryan flipped down the lens cap on his scope. He didn't need 10-power magnification to see what was going on downrange. The ant line of looters disintegrated as small weapons fire swept over it. From the hard cover of Taco Town, the Vilsecfor sent volleys of lead down the narrow lanes between the low shacks. The blasting was indiscriminate. The Bullard folk were in an outraged frenzy. The looters caught flat-footed, dropped where they stood, hit by dozens of rounds at once. Other roustees managed to dump their booty and run, only to be cut down after taking a few steps. The only chillers who had half a chance were the ones closest to the wags. At least they could dive into the wags for cover. Bullets rained down on the three Winnebagos.
These folks aren't going to be satisfied until they've killed every Outlander.
Time for us to try and pull back, Ryan, while we still have a prayer of making it.
Yeah, let's...
The second Winnebago suddenly roared to life, and an instant later, with spinning rear wheels, it swerved out of line. It accelerated, fishtailing wildly.
Ah! Fire blast!
As though it were locked on a target, the RV barreled down on the companions. Balduna's adult head peeked out from the shadows. Dean and Lilu had stopped running, but were still moving its way. They were about to pass within a few yards of its hiding place. Balduna's adult head ducked back out of sight. For more than 40 years, the mutant had lived in a cage. Even among scalies, the birth of a huge, two-headed infant was altogether too frightening and bizarre. When Gert Wolfram's scouts had spotted the young beast, they'd attacked and captured the freak. None of the pack had tried to defend the youngster against its kidnappers. Despite the adult head's whining complaints about the unsanitary accommodations and rough treatment and its newfound freedom, Balduna had no intentions of ever escaping. The adult head wasn't smart by any stretch of the imagination, but it was smart enough to understand that freedom meant a slow death by starvation. Balduna had never made its own way in the world. Chow came to it regularly, instead of it having to chase down the Chow, something it could never do on its own. The two tender young morsels were the closest it would ever come. If it could surprise and stun them, it could have them. As Balduna's adult head drew even deeper into the shadows, it considered the moist, succulent flesh, the sweet blood, the crisp bones. It wiped the drool from its chin, then from the baby chin. The adult head could hear the footfalls of its quarry drawing nearer.
But where are we going, Dean?
We've got to find Jack.
Balduna prepared to spring. As it continued to slobber a bubbling waterfall, the baby head started making funny noises.
Quiet! If we do this right, we can eat them both.